Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the nature of God was recorded at our 2009 Raleigh-Durham Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
And he says, you were like a child that was born, and in the day of your birth, you weren't swaddled, you weren't cleaned up, you were cast out into the dirt. You still had blood on you. You didn't have your navel cut. You were wallowing in your own blood, and you were polluted, and you were filthy. And at that time, when we were this defiled, dirty thing, the Lord found us and took us unto Himself. And the point He was trying to make to the nation of Israel was, I didn't pick you because you deserved it. He said in other places, He says, you weren't the mightiest nation. You weren't the strongest nation. I didn't pick you because you were the greatest of anything. I picked you out of love and out of mercy. And see, if you think that, man, God is just so lucky, so blessed to have you on His side, then you aren't going to fully appreciate what God has done. And I'm saying a lot of things here that I'm going to have to go back and verify in more detail. But if you could just take this as kind of an outline, a sketch, then I'll go in and fill in the detail and color this in for you as we go through this week, and it'll really help you. But this is basically what the Old Testament law was given for. The Old Testament law was given not to set you free from sin, but rather to amplify your sin and to make it so big and so hideous that it would deprive you of any feeling that you could save yourself. It was to actually make sin come alive on the inside of you, and it was to make you despair of ever changing yourself and ever being worthy in the sight of God. It was given to drive you to your knees so that you'd cry out for mercy instead of justice. And one of the greatest deceptions that the devil has ever put forth through religion is to get people to embrace the Old Testament law as, oh God, thank you for giving us all of these rules and regulations and all of these commands so that we could come to know you. The law wasn't given to help you know God. The law was given to help you know you're a sinner, to show you your failure, to knock you flat of your face so the only way you could look was up. That was the purpose of the law. And yet most people think, oh no, no, the law is such a wonderful thing. The law was given to kill, to condemn. I'm going to be showing you some scriptures and proving that in more detail. But see, you need to come to the end of yourself before you can find the beginning of God. And there's a lot of Christians that have not come to the end of themselves. They haven't understood that they don't deserve mercy. The truth is, they deserve judgment. They haven't understood that righteousness, having to be righteous, pure and holy in the sight of God, excludes us from ever having peace. And the only way that you can ever have mercy and peace with God is through total, absolute trust and dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus purchased something from God that you could never earn, that you could never measure up to. All of us have come short of that standard. And it's only through Jesus that we can have any type of relationship with God. Now, you know, that's easy for me to say. And there's a lot of you who I'm sure are sitting there saying, well, I've accepted Jesus, and so therefore I've got all of that. And then you leave here, and immediately you go right back in to your old mindset. Here's a way of illustrating it. If I had people come forward tonight for healing, I can guarantee you I've done this thousands and thousands of times. I've heard this over and over, but people come forward and they'll say, I just don't know why God hasn't healed me. I've been fasting and praying and studying the Word, and I pay my tithes and I go to church and I'm living as holy as I can. You know what you're saying? Is why don't I have peace? Because look at my righteousness. Your righteousness is like a filthy rag. If you were to get what you deserved, you'd die on the spot. And yet, well, I'm doing all of these things. See, you don't understand. You are trying to have relationship with God based on your own righteousness, your own right doing. You can't do that. It is only through Jesus that you'll ever have peace or healing or joy or victory or whatever it is that you're in need of. And so there's people who sit here and say, oh yeah, I've made Jesus my Lord and so everything's fine. And then they go back into this performance mentality to where they think it's their righteousness, their self-righteousness that makes them worthy. And because they haven't sinned as much as somebody else, then they think that God owes it to them. You need to understand the opposites here. That none of us deserve anything from God. You can't come and demand healing because, God, I've confessed 550 times that by your stripes I am healed, and now you twist God's arm and God's got to come through. Of course, that's none of you that are here. None of you would ever pray, and if you don't see their prayer come to manifest, then you go to the prayer chain and get others to put more pressure on him. Or if that doesn't work, then you start fasting. And most people believe that fasting is something that just forces God. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to do anything until God moves. You know what that is? That's self-righteousness, thinking that, and a lot of times it's kind of this mentality that we don't know why God isn't prone to give us what we've been asking for, but if we start fasting right before we die, right before we, you know, just waste away. I mean, we're our stomach's growling. We're so weak, we can hardly lift our hand. Even an harsh, angry God, whatever's wrong with him, he'll at least have pity on me when I'm about to die. And you do that to make God move. Fasting doesn't affect God. It doesn't change God one iota. Fasting is for you. And that's a whole other subject. I hadn't got time to teach on that. But fasting changes your heart towards God, not God's heart towards you. But see, there's people, if I had them come forward, they would start listing what they've been doing, and they'd get somebody else to agree, and we're going to grab hold of the horns of the altar and shake it until God comes out. I want you to know, God came out long before you grabbed the altar. Long before you started doing something. It is not up to us to motivate God and to make God do something. You are, in a sense, going back and trying to get mercy because you deserve mercy. You don't deserve mercy. You deserve judgment. Well, I want peace because I've been doing all of these right things. If you got what you deserved, you would get judgment and not peace. You would have turmoil. You'd be miserable. And let me just put a little parenthetical phrase in here. This is why some of you are miserable. It's because you have this mindset and you're trying to earn the favor of God. You're trying to deserve it. And you're frustrated because you're living holier than you ever have and you're living better than this person over here. And you just can't understand and you're heartbroken. And what does God demand? Perfection. He demands absolute perfection. Well, I can't be perfect. Well, then you ought to trust someone who was. You ought to pray in His name. And you know what? Because we live in a world that, again, does not base their theology on the Bible, and everything is performance-based, oriented, like you couldn't sit here and listen to what I'm saying tonight and then go to your boss tomorrow and say, oh, I found out that, man, mercy and peace are mine just through Jesus, and it doesn't matter how I live. So I, you know what? I may or may not show up for work. I may or may not work. I think I'll take a 2-hour break tomorrow, and you know what? I'm just going to receive it through grace. You tell your boss that and he'll fire you. The world doesn't operate this way. Only God operates this way. So, because our world doesn't model grace for us, it doesn't model this kind of thing, you know what? It's easy to fall back into this. I don't think that you ever just see this and then it's over. In my own life, I've had to grow in this and grow in it, and I'm still growing in it. I still fall back into thinking, oh God, what have I got to do to earn my way unto you and to please you? And I sometimes get to trusting in myself instead of in the Lord. You know, not long after Jamie and I moved to this little town of Pritchett, Colorado, I had been ministering to people. We saw a man raised from the dead, and because of it, our church jumped from 10 up to 100 in a town of 144 people. We started having miracles and people started coming, and they were wearing me out. I didn't have time to read the Bible or to pray except for people. I mean, I got up, they'd wake me up in the middle of the night. They'd come over at all hours of the night. And I had no time to do anything. And so I knew that I needed to be studying the Word. And that's true. You do need to study the Word, and you do need to pray for your sake, to keep your heart sensitive to God, not to make God's heart sensitive towards you. God doesn't love you more if you study the Word and pray, and He doesn't love you less if you don't. But you will love God less if you don't study the Word and pray. And you will love God more if you study the Word and pray. And anyway, I knew that I was supposed to be doing these things, and I'd been so busy, I hadn't been spending time in the Word, and I hadn't been praying the way I should. And so I made a commitment that I was going to fast and pray and study the Word all day long. And I made that commitment. I went to bed. And before I woke up, somebody was knocking on the door. They woke me up knocking on the door, and people wanted prayer. So I prayed all day long, but I prayed for other people. I didn't do what I promised the Lord I'd do. The only time I opened the Bible all day long was to minister to other people. I had a steady stream of people come by my house. And so I opened the Bible, but not for my study. It was to minister to other people. And at lunch, I had a man come by who I'd been trying to lead to the Lord, and he wanted to come by and take me to lunch. And I thought, man, today could be his day to get born again. And am I going to tell him, no, I'm not eating? And so I went out and ate with him because I thought I could get him born again. And I was hungry because I didn't have breakfast, so I actually ate twice as much as I normally do. And on the way to a Bible study that night, I had 45 miles to drive. I was feeling so unworthy. Like, God, I promised you that I would fast and pray and study the Word all day long, and I hadn't done any of it.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the nature of God. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Raleigh-Durham Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM236 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the first teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I want to thank those of you who become partners with us, you know, giving more than just what it costs to get your materials, but you are helping us to reach out and touch other people. Thank you, because I believe that this is going to transform people's lives. And if you haven't yet become a partner, I'd like to encourage you to do so. You know, the television industry says that only about 1% of the people who watch a program and are receiving from it ever contact the ministry. That means that there's probably 99% of you who've been blessed that have never responded. I'd like to ask you to pray about it and then join with me and become a regular partner.